Welcome to the Haney Biz Project with Mark Haney. Mark is a serial investorpreneur and the chief dreaming officer of the Haney Biz Companies. He's working tirelessly to ignite the entrepreneurial revolution and share the inspiring stories of the region's most influential leaders. And now, here's Mark Haney.
All right. Welcome to the Haney Biz Project. I'm Mark Haney, and we are on a mission to ignite the entrepreneurial revolution right here in our hometown of Sacramento. We do that by telling the stories, the good stories, the stories of winning, the stories of the most successful people in Sacramento, sharing their stories. But you know what? It is not always easy. Many times it is a comeback story. We all face those times when we're building businesses when it is not easy. I am here with my main man, Marcus Haney. How you doing, Marcus?
I am fantastic. Thank you so much. Fired up to be here today.
I appreciate you coming on the show today, and we're going to be talking about winning today. But how do we win and simultaneously build a motivated family, a successful family? It's one of the most difficult things, I think, in life to do, is to juggle this whole thing, this whole life of entrepreneurship or success in any realm while simultaneously raising children. Marcus, you're attempting to do this right now.
Yeah, I have a five-year-old son coaching Little League, full-time entrepreneur, and out here just trying to do it one day at a time.
Full-time parent, full-time entrepreneur, full-time Little League coach.
Got to do it all.
How do you do?
Well, last year we were in T-ball, did well, taught a lot of kids, a lot of good life lessons. Everybody got a trophy, so I'll say we got the first place.
Everybody got a trophy. You know, what's interesting is we think about how to raise motivated kids. I am 54. I've got a couple of very motivated children, but how did it happen? How do we end up with motivated children? I was in Nugget the other day getting some groceries, and it was a Saturday, and I went through the line, and I met briefly this really motivated guy, and I thought, you know what, this guy is unique. I don't think most kids today think this way. He said to me, "How's it going? What are you doing this weekend?" And I'm like, "Oh, you know, I'm just hanging out with the family." And I said, "How about you?" And he said, "I'm just working on my future, building some fun for my future."
Wow.
And I was taking my stuff to the car, and all I could think about is, why are some people like this young man? He was college age, motivated, thinking of this job at Nugget as an opportunity, as a stepping stone for some larger purpose. And other people are like, well, it feels like Monday today, doesn't it? You know, some people view their job or their opportunity so much differently. And where does that start? Does it begin as little kids in a family dynamic? I would say it does. Marcus?
Yeah, absolutely. I have to agree with you. I think it starts with your parents first off, and then your teachers, the school you go to, the friends and their parents of who you interact with, because they say you are like most like the five people you hang around the most, right? So I think it all really depends on that entire dynamic as a whole.
And I think a lot of people my age, you know, we got that old school way of thinking, right? Where all great change in America begins at the dinner table, right? We know Ronald Reagan said that, but you know, in my family in the 70s, that's what it was like. In today's lifestyle, so hectic, both parents working so many times, the whole family on the go. How do any of us shape those young minds?
Yeah, I mean, that's the challenge there as a parent. So I try with my son, Hunter, I try to communicate with him, or over-communicate, right? I try to take my business philosophies of over-communicating with my team into my household along with the other people involved, and try to utilize that the best I can to make sure that everybody knows that we're on the same page.
It's interesting because, I mean, in my day, right, back in the day, we had a lot of freedom, right? So there wasn't as much micromanagement of the parents. We basically could do whatever we want in our household. I'm not saying it worked out the best, but you know, I don't know if you know this, Marcus, but I was voted most likely to be a bum in my high school yearbook. And it was mostly my ex-girlfriend's voting, but still, I was that guy. My parents gave me that freedom to sort of go out and get in trouble and learn through mistakes, through hard knocks. But you know what? I'm appreciative of that freedom, and we did the opposite with you and your sister. We micromanaged the heck out of you guys.
Yeah, I appreciate you guys riding me.
We were all over you. I mean, in a positive way, I think, in an instructive way. I mean, but you know what? I think there's different ways of getting our messages across. We're going to be talking about that today, and we have two people coming on the show today who are experts in success in business. but yet they're also experts in building incredible families. Later in the show, we have Mr. Darrell Teat. He is the Sac Metro Chamber President, and he was voted, I think it was best father 2 years in a row, but coming up after the break. The co-founder of Impact Venture Summit, my friend, Mr. Jack Crawford, is in the house. Join the revolution at HaneyBiz.com, brought to you courtesy of Five Star Bank. This is the Haney Biz Project.
Now, back to the Haney Biz Project with host Mark Haney.
All right. Welcome back to the Haney Biz Project. I'm Mark Haney. We are bringing you this segment courtesy of Comstocks Magazine. And today we are joined by my good buddy, Jack Crawford, founder of Impact Venture Capital. How you doing, Jack?
Hey, I'm doing great.
Thank you for coming on the show today. I want to talk to you about the venture capital business, about the Sacramento region. And we're going to be talking about parenthood a little bit as well. It should be a fun show. Why don't you give us an overview, if you don't mind, Jack, about what is Impact Ventures?
So our firm is investing in early stage technology companies, primarily inside the technology triangle between San Francisco, San Jose, and the Sacramento area. We'll look at deals from anywhere across the country and anywhere around the world, but we're paying special attention to companies in that geography. And it's interesting, Sacramento is starting to play a more relevant role with regard to technology and policy. Policy is reshaping innovation in a number of ways, and our firm is looking at the headwinds and tailwinds that are being created for early stage technology companies and innovations in areas like driverless vehicles and drones, and artificial intelligence and security as it relates to social media. There's a lot of areas where policy is playing a role in innovation. And so understanding those as an investor may help you to understand which companies to invest in, because some will be facing major headwinds and some may be facing tailwinds that help them to grow a little quicker.
Well, what advantages or disadvantages might Sacramento have as you're trying to attract these companies and invest into these companies?
Yeah, I think oftentimes this region, the Sacramento area, has been viewed as, centered on government. And when you think of government, you think of red tape and slow-moving procurement processes. You think of just indefinite decision-making periods. I'd like to turn that upside down a bit and just say, wait a minute, we've got some policy expertise that is colliding with areas of innovation. We may just understand the areas that are going to grow faster than most other places in California, maybe than most other places in the world. So when we look at driverless vehicles, one of the critical elements is citizen safety. When we look at social media and how it's taken off, we look at areas of privacy and sort of what makes sense and what doesn't. When we look at sort of, you know, drones and, you know, delivering products or providing surveillance over solar farms, I mean, our understanding of policy and how it relates to these really interesting areas of innovation gives us a competitive advantage playing a role in some of those industries. And so I think that's the role that Sacramento has to play.
And thinking about your investment thesis, how do you decide what the right fit is for Impact?
Yeah, so the blocking and tackling of the venture capital industry is really about understanding the size of the overall market, really understanding the depth of the technology. Is it patentable? Do you have a sustainable competitive advantage from a technology standpoint? From a management team standpoint, does this team have the experience to really take the idea, turn it into a product, turn it into a company, and hopefully someday turn it into a ticker symbol? And then from a financial standpoint, how capital intensive is this business? You know, do they really understand the numbers, how to get that company from where it's at right now to profitability? So, you know, looking at those four areas and really doing some due diligence to understand the viability of the opportunity is where we focus.
You know what's interesting to me about the, when I talk to venture capitalists, a lot of times you'll hear something like, well, half our investment portfolio will probably fail or do almost nothing. A couple of them will do okay. And then one or two, if we can get a home run out of one or two of them, then we have a great return for our investors. But why do so many have to fail?
Yeah, that's a challenge. I think the risk associated with the early stage of the innovation process, because you're doing so much inventing, because you have a new team that that has come together. Sometimes you have a new market. I mean, look at all the things that are happening with cryptocurrency right now. It's a really interesting space. There's going to be some amazing companies that are created, but the fundamental technology and the security around it need to be buttoned up first. So there's a whole lot of failures on the way to success. And I think it was Winston Churchill, you know, sort of success is about maintaining your enthusiasm as you sort of fail and fail and fail again until you reach success. And I think that's kind of how it is with these seed and early stage technology companies.
Well, I'm wondering about like impact. And I do a little bit of investing into smaller companies. I'm invested into impact as well. But how do we shorten that time? You're right. You said fail and fail and fail. I have to assume that part of what impact tries to do is invest into companies or maybe even help them through that, I call it the trough of sorrow, that long road to profitability and sustainability and ultimate success. How do we shorten that road?
Yeah, to your point, I think it's about figuring out how to fail fast, right? If you're going to fail, fail fast. Don't take a long time to fail. And so there's concepts like creating a minimum viable product. You know, let's not create the Taj Mahal of a solution. Let's create something that we can test in the marketplace. So I think it's about this rapid prototyping, rapid testing, a quicker understanding of, in a sense, what the customer is looking for, and trying to get to revenues quicker. I mean, at the end of the day, we can't get trapped in a cave building what we think is the world's greatest next product without testing it off the market. So I think a little bit quicker building of a product in a 1.0 sort of rapid prototype and a little quicker testing off of customers might lead us to, okay, this is something we should fuel and take to the next level, or no, we got to kill this, you know, sort of repurpose the lessons learned and now go, you know, figure out something that is going to work.
There's no problem a few more sales won't fix in so many cases. So thinking about what you guys are doing here in Sacramento, you have the Impact Global Venture Summit. It's May 8th. It's a huge event at Golden One. What can we expect this year?
Yeah, so it should be a little more than 1,000 people will attend an event at the Golden One Center. We're lining up the panel and the keynote speakers in areas that we believe are sort of disrupting various markets. So when you look at what's happening with digital currency, global digital currency, when you look at autonomous vehicles, when you look at the way in which the job market is changing with artificial intelligence and robotics, we've gone and we created 5 different themes. There'll be 7 different stages inside the Golden One arena. It'll be the Disneyland for corporate venture capitalists, for venture capitalists, and for entrepreneurs. And then there'll be a number of programs inside the private lounges that are more focused on kind of one-on-one meetings for entrepreneurs with investors. And so this, as technology and policy collide, we're taking, in a sense, all of the key themes that are coming out of some of those discussions and merging them into 5 programs and into what is, you know, the most technologically advanced arena in the world. So I think we're going to have some fun that day.
Well, I mean, it's going to be a great time to get inspired, talk to people who have been there, done that, had some real success. I think it's also going to be a time for a lot of us to become educated about venture capital and corporate VC, but also a time to connect. What a great place to meet somebody. Maybe even you had the chance of meeting your future business partner right there in Golden One. Instead of watching a Kings game, let's go find somebody who can help change the trajectory of our career.
Yeah, when we ran this before about 15 months ago, there was about 750 people there, and I'd say about 80% of them were from the greater Sacramento area. One significant difference this year is we think more than 50% of the people that attend this particular event will be from outside the region.
Wow.
So as we look at kind of the areas of innovation in between San Francisco and San Jose, there's a real opportunity to draw them up to Sacramento and talk about some of these key areas of innovation. And so I'm excited about the investor composition that will be there. I'm excited about sort of bringing more resources into the Sacramento area with regard to market research, with regard to capital, with regard to ideas and entrepreneurship. And to your point, I think it's going to be an extraordinary opportunity to meet people from Northern California.
Well, you're a guy who is putting Sacramento on the map in terms of entrepreneurship. I mean, we can't thank you enough, but I have to ask you, you know, we led off the show talking about how do the most successful people, guys like yourself, raise a purpose-driven, motivated family where there's high achievement as part of the philosophy. How do you do it?
Well, I guess from the standpoint of looking for models of success, I feel like I'm at the beginning of the process, not the end of the process.
How old are your
kids? I appreciate the comments, but I have a 16-year-old, a 12-year-old, and a 9-year-old.
You're
so two
right
boys and a little
in
girl.
The heat of
We're
it,
right
Jack.
In the heat of it. Yeah, there's a lot of action in the Crawford household right
yeah.
now. But sort of, you know, on our pathway to trying to figure out how to sort of best live life, one of the things that I realized was There's some elements around strategic planning that directly apply to business that we're very comfortable with. Most entrepreneurs, most successful CEOs have been involved in strategic planning sessions with their business, maybe with a church, maybe with a nonprofit, maybe with their kids' school. Someone has said, hey, you've got some business skills. Come on out and help us set some goals. We'll figure out critical path items. Let's figure out a timeline. Let's figure out the actions required to achieve those goals. But those very skills are not often applied to life. We sort of live life in this reactive way. Oh, I wonder what's going to happen this next year. I hope something good happens. And I've started to think that there's a way to shift that and maybe sort of embrace the concept of proactive living by taking these business and entrepreneurial skills that we use to set goals and execute on them in the entrepreneurial world and apply them to life. And so my family has created things like a dream board that's up on in my home office, and everybody sort of contributes to that. And I think that to some degree, dreaming ignites initiative in kids. They don't need a deep level of experience in strategic planning to dream a little bit, to think about that. And I think there's something about the documentation process of putting your dreams up on the wall and having everybody in the family sort of see what you're interested in and what you're fired up about. And I think there's little things like that that we've done that have started to lead us in an interesting direction about applying sort of business skills to life and achieving maybe outsized results as it relates to our family.
I love it. Bringing business concepts to the family, allowing our family to dream, and that ignites the creativity. Jack, I'm going to ask you to stick around, but coming after, and we're going to talk a little bit more about family. We're going to dive deep into this because we're going to bring, I think we brought your match on, right? Everybody meets their match in some way. Well, today we're going to be bringing on Mr. Darrell Teat. He is the CEO of the Sac Metro Chamber, but beyond that, he has been named Father of the Year a couple years. So we're going to put you against Darrell.
I'm in trouble.
It is going to be a fun show, and I'm going to be here to help referee. Join the revolution at HaneyBiz.com, courtesy of Audie Rockland. This is the Haney Biz Project.
Welcome back to Mark Haney, igniting the entrepreneurial revolution with the Haney Biz Project.
Welcome back to the Haney Biz Project, brought to you courtesy of Hub International. I'm Mark Haney, and I am here today with Darrell Teat. He is the CEO of Teat Consulting, but also the interim CEO of the Sac Metro Chamber. How are you doing, Darrell?
I'm doing fantastic. Blessed. How are you?
I am doing, I hope I'm doing half as good as you. But I gotta make sure that everybody knows you in Sacramento. A few people know me because I have this radio show, but who is Darrell Teat?
Darrell Teat is a husband of 16 years, a father of a 14-year-old and a 12-year-old, definitely a blessed man who has the opportunity to live his dream every day.
And let's talk about what that is from a business standpoint to start. What are you doing in the world of business here in Sacramento today?
So launched a company, Darrell Teat and Associates, last year, formerly Darrell Teat Consulting. Then I figured out I had more work than I can handle myself.
Plan on some associates.
So I had to plan on some associates to bring some extra mind space into making sure we serve our clients. We do corporate strategy, strategic planning, help people solve problems. And more importantly, everything revolves back to helping companies make more revenue.
Okay.
So that's what we do for Darrell Teat and Associates. Part of what I wanted to do as well is interim executive work, because I didn't want to get lost in the theory of things and just strategizing and planning. I'm a doer. Mm-hmm. And to continue to take all those theories and the things I learned in business school, continue to put it in practice, the interim executive work came up with the Metro Chamber. I've served on the board for the last 2 years. The opportunity arose with a transition, and they tapped me on the shoulder and said, you may not have time to do it. And I said, absolutely time to do it. This is an opportunity.
Cool.
I couldn't pass up.
Way to make time. Now let's get your background too. You were you were in leadership at the Nehemiah Corporation. Tell us about that, and how did that prompt you to take on this new venture?
Absolutely. Working at Nehemiah was an awesome opportunity. So many different things going on, from real estate investment, development, lending, commercial lending, as well as a leadership development program. Many people don't know, but I actually first came to know Nehemiah through the Nehemiah Emerging Leaders Program. Had never heard the company before. Went through the first class, and then at that time, CEO Scott Syphax talks at the end of the program said, hey, we need to talk. And I had a blessing of an opportunity since, and then ultimately became president of the company.
You just worked your way up
all the way up.
Wow, that's a good story. So now with all this national experience and obviously in real estate and so much more, now helping new people. What's it like to launch a new consulting business?
It was scary, but it's exhilarating. Every day is something different. I get the opportunity to take everything that I've learned, but also putting together a collection of experts that form up the associates part of Darrell Teton Associates to tackle big problems, to think outside the box, and more importantly, get all of our clients to have a mindset of no limitations.
Well, would it be a small entrepreneurial business that would need your help, or would it be a larger corporation?
Right now, we're focused on small to medium-sized companies, the base of what Sacramento business and our fabric of our nation is all about. We do have some tech companies out of the Bay Area that have some innovative technology that they want to bring into the marketplace. So now that got us into strategy related to market penetration.
I have to ask you also to dive into the Sac Metro Chamber. It's one of the most respected chambers, I think, in the United States. Mm-hmm. Tell us about what it's like being the person in charge of that and what the good is that the Sac Metro Chamber does.
It is a fantastic opportunity, a company with rich history, 123 years. So it has a great foundation of serving this business community. And what the chamber does is it advocates for public policy related to advancing the economic prosperity of our region, making it more business friendly. And it also provides the tools and the resources for small, medium, and even large size companies to grow.
What's it like? You know, you're in charge of the board, right? You're the president of the board, right? So you've got all these successful people with all this background, and you have to herd up these successful people to get them to be aligned and move forward together. Mm-hmm. How tough is that to herd up such successful people?
It's definitely a challenge because they're so passionate. They really are passionate and dedicated towards moving this entire region forward from a business perspective. And once we give them some intentional things to work on with some outcomes that we really want to see happen to move the region forward, that's when all of a sudden their minds click in gear. Yeah. They become more focused and we get work done.
Yeah, I love it when people work together like that, when you get those leaders working together. But thinking about what some of the things Jack said in the family man that Jack is and how he's bringing the business, the strategic planning approach to his family, you were named the Father of the Year. How would you contrast Jack's approach?
You know what? Jack is definitely on tap for Father of the Year as well. We very similar approaches, having the kids think big and being very open and transparent with them about the life of an entrepreneur and encouraging them to live their passions. So both of our children, 14, my daughter's 14, my son's 12, and I told them, Mom and Dad will be your first investors from day one. So what businesses do you want to create? My daughter wants to own dance studios throughout California. Wow. And my son wants to flip houses and design custom homes.
How old is your son?
He's 12.
And he wants to flip houses. Where did he get that from?
So we flipped over 1,400 homes at Nehemiah and across 26 states. So he got a little peek. He got a little peek into the business.
Flipping houses looks kind of fun, Dad. Well, thinking about this, okay, so Father of the Year, how did you get named Father of the Year? Tell us what went into that.
You know, I don't know. So it was definitely very humbling, but I will say that it's intentional. Not to win the Father of the Year award, but intentional in making sure that every single day it's like building something with the kids so that they understand they can do it. It's really reinforcing the mentality of limitlessness. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that movie Limitless, where this guy took a pill, I had him watching, and all of a sudden he can do all these amazing things. And I share with them, just with faith and hard work, you don't need a pill.
Wow. Exciting stuff. When we come back, we're going to ask you to stick around, Darrell. We're going to bring Jack back on, and we're going to talk about how the most successful people in Sacramento can juggle it all and build these families that are driven, purpose-driven, and find a way to be motivated. When we return, we'll be talking more about family. Join the revolution at HaneyBiz.com, courtesy of the Entrepreneurs Organization of Sacramento and law firm Greenberg Traurig. This is the Haney Biz Project.
Now,
And now back to the Haney Biz Project with investorpreneur Mark Haney.
Welcome back to the Haney Biz Project, brought to you courtesy of accounting firm Clifton Larson Allen. I'm Mark Haney, and I am rejoined by Jack Crawford, and Daryl Teat is also here. We're talking about how to win as family men. And I wonder, you know, just thinking about, you guys have been very successful in your life. How would you contrast, Darrell, growing up in Fairfield, right? How would you contrast your upbringing to what's going on now, your father of the year here in Sacramento? How'd you end up being so successful? Now you're raising these driven kids again.
Yeah, I had the blessing of having a strong father figure, my dad. My mother and my life, my grandparents around, and being able to see kind of two different tracks. My dad worked civil service for the federal government, worked every day very hard to provide for us. My grandma was an entrepreneur in the family. So wow. She owned five mental health care homes in the Bay Area, and then she ultimately transferred those up to Redding when she expanded to eight. So I got a chance to really see entrepreneurship in action.
Well, they said they set such a great example for you. Now you're taking this to the kids. Are you doing it the same way that your mom and dad did it, or are you doing it different, like Darrell style?
I'm doing it Darrell style. My wife's name is Lanisha. She's bought wholeheartedly into what we're doing and making sure that the kids continue to think about post-college, what businesses do they want to run and own? Where do they have a passion for and effective? But also starting right now, what small businesses can you create to yeah. get the bug going, to understand how to create revenue and
value? Well, talking about their big dreams too, the dance studios all over the country and flipping as many houses as dad, that is, they've got some big shoes to fill. Jack, thinking about that, how about you? Contrast, you're growing up, you grew up here locally, very successful family. You ended up driven and motivated, and I mean, how are you doing it differently than what your parents did?
You know, I think sort of entrepreneurship was in my blood in the early days, just seeing my parents both own their own businesses. And then as I started launching a family, I started realizing, to the point you're making, Darrell, having a wife that has a tolerance for risk sort of starts to shape your thinking about how much of a risk you can take. And I have the benefit of having an extraordinary wife that's very comfortable with risk. And so I've always felt like I could sort of push the envelope and really go for it. And have that sort of stability and support. So I think growing up, it was about having entrepreneurial parents. And then as you raise a family, it's about really having the right spouse because we're out pushing the limits of what is possible. And it's one thing to do that on your own with a fitness event or, you know, with something but it's another thing when you're really kind of, you're taking your net worth, your credibility, and you're trying to do something that maybe in some cases has not been done before. And you need to have a life partner alongside of you that's ready to take that risk with you.
Don't Absolutely. You think that successful people are notorious for spoiling their children? And oftentimes you see that show up as they get older.
Yeah, I think my perception is, first of all, I'd say for me personally, I'm still trying to figure it all out. And I feel like part of the value of sharing some of what you're going through in life is you get an opportunity to crowdsource best practices on yeah. living life. And you do learn from people who have been wildly successful financially what they feel like they're doing well and what they feel like they haven't done so well in their kids. And oftentimes they can't talk about it until they've gone through a cycle. So I love talking to the people who have been wildly successful financially that are kind of a cycle ahead of me. Their kids are off at college. And maybe they wish they had a little bit closer relationship with their daughter, or maybe they wish their son had a little bit more motivation. And in some cases, they've just knocked it out of the park. They've done unbelievably well. But I think there's something to be learned from the people who have been successful in business that are a cycle ahead of where I'm at.
Well, I mean, you're very humble about that. You're the guy bringing the strategic planning session to the family with dream boarding and so on. Give us a little more color on what that looks like, because that seems cutting edge to me. We can learn from you, Jack.
And we're definitely inventing. So on the home office at our house, there is a dream board where effectively each member of our family has a color-coded sticky, and they put up their dreams in areas of things like people they'd like to meet, places they'd like to go, things they'd like to have. And so whether you're 9 years old or whether you're 50 years old, you can contribute to the dream board. But I think the process of them dreaming a little bit, I think that ignites initiative. And then sometimes when we travel, that seems to ignite initiative. And the process of, wow, setting a goal, and it can be as impossible and challenging challenging as an Ironman event. It can be as simple as building an 1,800-piece Lego set. But once that dream is achieved, we take a picture of that event actually happening, and we put it over the colored sticky of us documenting the dream. And now you see this sort of photo montage being built before your eyes, and your family's sort of most important thoughts, ideas, and dreams are starting to become reality. And there's something exciting about that, not only for the dad in the family, candidly, but also for the 9-year-old daughter who
the
sees this.
The family rallies around, very much like we try to do in our business, is getting the entire team to rally around each of our individual dreams. And I want to, you know, kick it back over to Darrell, for a second here. Thinking about hearing Jack's experience, and I think about my own experience. I grew up, we sat around the kitchen table as kids, and that's where we got the news of the day, and we communicated those family values. We didn't have the sticky. I think it was before they had dry little sticky notes. But anyway, we got the news of the day eating dinner together. I mean, what does it look like in your family, Darrell?
It's chaos. I call it managed chaos. You know, with a daughter who's a protege for a dance company, son competes high level AAU basketball. My wife is definitely a working mother, and I'm all over the place as well. So we get a lot of car time.
Yeah.
So a lot of car time, a lot of conversation, a lot of inspirational YouTube videos we listen to and watch, and just continue to talk about the dreams, aspirations, and what did we do that day to help move our dreams forward and accomplish our goals.
What motivational, besides the Haney Biz Project, what motivational videos do you guys listen to? Just curious.
So, you know, in addition to the Haney Biz show, it's a lot of things, top 10 success rules. So there's a gentleman who named Evan Campbell, who finds little clips from famous people who are very successful and breaks down what he thinks their top 10 rules for success are. We do things like Eric Thomas about, you know, making sure that we are grinding and hustling every single day. And then we also are very intentional, I would say, not from the video perspective, but also the question you asked him about successful kids sometimes don't have a lot of drive. We intentionally have lack in the family. For example, I can tell you this. I bought my dream car 2 years ago. Son, daughter, family absolutely loves it. But when the heater went out about 6 months ago, I intentionally did not fix the heater so that they can understand what it's like to drive through a portion of the winter without a heater and have to roll down the window, so that they have empathy, number one, but also number two, they understand and they've experienced it before.
Learning in the car rides, very interesting, whether it be the motivational tapes or the heater not working. Jack, thinking about this, kids today, we talked a little bit about, are they spoiled, or we don't really let them fall all the way to the ground. It makes you think of the Meet the Fockers movie where Gaylord gets recognized. I didn't know they had ninth place ribbons, Greg. You know, it's like, have we become a society where we're promoting, I don't know, like it's like the wussification of America happening before our eyes?
Yeah, I think there is a little bit of everybody, you know, sort of getting a trophy or an award at the end of the year that makes sense maybe when you're 4 or 5, but doesn't make so much sense when you're, you know, 12, 11, 10, 11, 12, and in older. I think there's an element of competition. There's an element of initiative. There's an element of sort of putting in work and generating results. And I think that seems to be working with my kids. But, you know, it's a life experiment. I'm learning from them, and they're learning from me. One of the things that we are trying to dial in, and it'd be interesting to hear you guys comment on this, is sort of what family routines can we adopt that allow us to learn a little bit more about what's important to each other. And so what I found was that, like at dinner, you mentioned this a couple times, Mark, we would eat dinner and sort of race off. You know, everybody would, it's like an eating competition, who could eat the fastest. And then everybody would be off doing other activities. And so I decided, you know, of, again, leveraging the sort of business experience, I brought an agenda to dinner on occasion.
Wow.
Just very simple. Hey, let's talk about the highs and lows, about what happened in your day. And my wife recently has just said, all right, we're not leaving the table until everybody comes up with some funny joke to make everybody else laugh. I mean, it's just extending time at the dinner table has been a little bit of a family routine. We have one other that I'll mention, that I'll throw it to you guys to comment on, sort of things that kind of glue your family together. At year end each year, on the last day of the year or the first day of the new year, we videotape each person in the family talking about the things that they appreciate most that happened in the last year and the things that they're hopeful for that happen in the next year. And after 14, 15 years of these videos, you know, basically of us, of Jackson, my oldest, when he was a baby till today, you have this series of videos of your kids kind of growing up and life being captured on video. And I think it's those kinds of things that glue us together as a family. And so I guess the question for both of you is kind of, are there family routines that you would share as sort of life's best practices that you're excited about and that seem to be working in your family to kind of glue you guys together?
Well, I'll answer mine real quickly. I do this radio show every week, and I lots of times I'll talk about my philosophies, and I think the whole family has adopted this philosophy of yes, if. Anything is possible if we do enough of the little things. And so each of my children and my wife, we constantly share our mantras. My daughter's is the harder you work, the luckier you get. So we have this sort of ritual or routine or open dialogue about what's important in life and the philosophies associated that, you know, we learned some of them as kids. We learned some, I think some of them are just innate. They happened before we're born. And I think some of them we are still changing as adults. Mm-hmm. Darrell?
You know, we ask in our family two questions. No matter if we hardly talk to each other or not, but it's what happened in your day today was great. What do you wish was a little bit better and why? Mm-hmm. So those are the two questions that we each ask each other. But also Sunday is our day as much as possible, even though we still have basketball games or dance. But Sunday evening for as many times as possible is movie night. Mm-hmm. So we just get together on the couch, watch a movie, and just hang out.
Wow. Yep.
The one thing that I've seen you do, Mark, in particular that I've been impressed with is there's this element of leverage. The thesis is that you're getting sort of more than one deliverable or more than one element of value by doing one action. And I've seen you do this with your business efforts by involving your family. I've seen you do this in philanthropic efforts. You seem to be getting leverage on life. And I really like that idea. I find that when you look at the dream board and you look at everybody's dreams of the things that they're trying to achieve, what if you could actually execute on one initiative and it achieve two or three dreams?
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. Right now you feel like you're living life in a sort of a strategic way, in a proactive way. I see you do that really well. And there's a couple of other people in my network that I sort of watch closely because they seem to have figured out some elements of best practices for getting leverage on life.
Well, don't our dreams in a family overlap? Don't our dreams in a neighborhood sort of overlap? When our neighbor succeeds, that's good for us. So if we can help him succeed a little bit, that's what it's all about. Okay, closing thoughts. Well, we're a little over time, and a minute left. Just closing thoughts to that person who is thinking about, you know, they're driven, they're starting to have some success. How do I keep it together with my family so that I can become a father of the year or the family of the year? Darrell?
Intentional. Intentionality related to moving the business forward, but also making sure that you include the family along the way in as many of the decisions as possible, but also making sure that you carve out that time to have unadulterated, just straight family time so that you don't have to talk about business. You can just talk about life.
Jack?
Yeah, for me, it's about a morning routine that includes some element of fitness, some element of an attitude of gratitude. Reviewing kind of core values and core goals that are really important to me and going into the day with a high level of energy, a high level of focus, and a high level of enthusiasm for making something happen that day.
Yeah.
And I think that if I can do that for a day and it carries over to the next day and I can do it for a week, then I might be able to do it for a lifetime. And now I'm living life in a proactive way right in line with the core values and goals that I've established. That's pretty cool.
Win the day with your family. Darrell, Jack, I want to thank you guys for coming on the show. We got to open it up on a personal level in a cool way today. Next week, we're going to have another great show. Tim Berry, Berco Redwood, Berry Lumber Organization will be on the show along with Bill McAnally, McAnally Racing, two entrepreneurs living the dream right here in our great city of Sacramento. When we return, I will share our takeaways. Marcus will come back on, help me out a little bit. Join the revolution at HaneyBiz.com, courtesy of Ethan Conrad Properties and financial advisor Stiefel Financial. This is the Haney Biz Project.
Ah! Welcome back for Mark's takeaways from today's Haney Biz Project.
Welcome back to the Haney Biz Project, brought to you courtesy of Silver's HR. I'm Mark Haney, and I am back here with Marcus Haney. Marcus, we've been talking about being a parent. I can only think back to my childhood, and you know, my mom and dad, we didn't have it quite, they weren't quite so successful in the younger years in terms of business success. And I remember asking my mom, Mom, are we rich? Because there were other people, you kind of wonder where you stack up. Mom, are we rich? And she would always say the same thing. Mark, we're rich in love. And I realized later that, you know, we had a railroad running through our backyard. I realized later, you know what? Maybe we weren't quite so rich at the time, but we were rich in love. We did have those family values that Jack and Darrell talked about today. And, you know, Marcus, you know, contrasting the way my parents might have been with me and, you know, how I was with you. I mean, at the end of the day, you got to admit, I was a pretty good dad.
Yeah, absolutely.
It was during the day I wasn't so good.
Yeah. Actually, I think, you know, I'm going to take something from Gary Vaynerchuk saying that I was perfectly parented, right? I had mom over here who took care of the school books and that kind of stuff. And you were always the one that pushed me to be my very best at whatever I decided I wanted to be good at. So,
I feel lucky that I had your mother. You guys turned out to be very ambitious, but yet know that everything was going to be okay. And I think at times I was a little hard on you guys. Maybe mom picked up where I was lacking. And together we worked as a team. And only thinking about the way I was raised, my parents were different as well. You know, I remember as little kids, the one thing that my mother would not allow was tattling, right? Because she was like, don't be a victim. You can't be a victim. If we acted like a victim, that was bad news. I mean, so I was four kids all a year apart as little kids. If one of us would tattle, I remember tattling and, hey, Byron's picking on me. And my mom would call Byron over and we would have to fight each other, right? That was the consequence for being a victim was having to fight your brother or sister. And I was not the toughest kid in the family, but, you know, that was a learning experience that I think help shape me as an entrepreneur a little bit. It's like, don't be a victim. And I learned that at the age 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. But my mom, she had one time when she was not consistent, I felt, in my way and in her way of parenting. We were on our way to grandma's house, right? Grandma lived in Sheridan, Wyoming, which is a, you know, a couple day drive. And we went in our, you know, we didn't have a lot of money. We had our Volkswagen, right? So four kids in a Volkswagen, you know, with their little league gloves and all that stuff, driving across the country. And, you know, there's tension that happens. Me and my younger brother would fight over that way back area, right? And I was the bigger brother, and so I usually got it, and he got stuck sitting up with my sister and my brother. It worked out great. And then we get to grandma's house, you know, after a couple of day drive, and the tensions are still pretty high because I had been kind of, it was okay to fight in the car. Whoever was the toughest got to go where they want. Anyway, we get there and we're playing a board game at my grandma's house, and I'm beating up on Paul on this little board game called Careers, and out of nowhere, Paul reaches across the board game and bam, punches me right in the eye. So I jump on Paul, and I got my arm raised back, just about ready to pound him, and just as I begin to move my fist forward, my wrist gets pulled, and it's my mom. There's no fighting at grandma's house. And I'm like, what? I've told you, and I've told you, and I've told you, there's no fighting at grandma's house. Does that mean you're done spitting on me too? It's like my mom was, she had flipped out from her normal let each other fight to, you know, no fighting at grandma's house. So the next morning, we're getting ready to go visit the cousins, right? So we're all getting ready, getting all combing our hair and everything. Got to go visit the cousins. We only go to Wyoming like once every other year. And here I am looking in the mirror, and guess what? I have this gigantic shiner, this black eye. So now I have to go around and visit my cousins. Yeah, my little brother beat the crap out of me. It was like the most embarrassing trip that we had. I didn't even want to go back to Wyoming again. But that's how it is. That's how we learn. I think sometimes it's letting our kids see what we did. We lead by example where we can. But we've got to, as our guest said today, Marcus, we got to let them play. We got to let them go learn and explore. And sometimes that means it's on the baseball field. Sometimes it's out just letting them have some freedom to discover what's good inside them, what's greatness inside them, because we all have that inside of us. But we got to find a way to let them fall. Not so far that they get seriously hurt, just enough so that they tough enough so that they can pick themselves back up. We got to let them fall, but we also got to let them love. I got to hand it to my mom and your mom and all the moms out there and all the people that recognize that side of life. We have to let our children figure out a way to love. And I don't know, and Jack and Darrell both said this, we have to find a way to let them dream, right? It's in those dreams that we really discover who we are, who we want to be, and we have to let our kids go out and achieve. So just a salute to Jack, Darrell, and to all the entrepreneurs here out in Sacramento, fighting the good fight, trying to raise a family at the same time. Appreciate what you guys do. Appreciate the men and women who fight for our security, our freedom, and our way of life. To the 13 stripes and to the 50 stars and to that one big American family, always worth fighting for, yours. Never above you, never below you, always by your side.